Well, it actually, we're talking only 120 years. So women have been fighting an uphill battle to rightly occupy a political space. I think also politics in many countries is seen as dirty. And a lot of us academics at the University of Technology in Sydney and other places, we try to unpack what does that dirty politics mean? Is it just a stereotype? Is it a narrative? But I think there's a sentiment that women are unready for the battle and fighting that politics requires. Now, what I prefer to see is that we challenge the fact that politics has to be dirty and a place of fight and battle as a place for political negotiation and debate. So to me, it's about changing the image and the nature of politics rather than forcing women to conform to be sufficiently authoritative and sufficiently aggressive to have a place. But I think, you know, if you look at it,
No, I was just wondering if that's the case, though, then we need to see more women in politics in general and to almost be a majority to be able to create that change.
Oh, look, I've always believed that we need to have greater numbers, because only with strength in numbers will you see a real change. So definitely, I think we want to be achieving parity, and only with parity will we see a real change in that political landscape. This last federal election was a very positive reflection that we're heading in the right direction.
Just in that, I've got a text here that says, Trev, your guess is so right. Without major party support and mindset, we won't get more women. Shirley Bishop really should have been the second and likely current PM.
Well, look, I think, you know, Julie Willis is a really interesting example, because a lot of women, scholars and non-scholars in my space, turn around and say to Julie Bishop, why does she not do more and why does she not say more? But I think she had an incredibly lonely experience in politics. And so not only was she not supported to take the top job, even though she certainly was interested and wanted to be a contender, but she was also in a very lonely political environment, if you look at the number of women at the time. And so, yes, it really comes down to party support and numbers.
Is there a degree of collegiality between women in politics in general, no matter what political flavour you are, that they still try to support each other in some way?
Look, I think we can't ignore the fact that with our political system, party politics still exists. So we would love to see cross-party women's caucuses, and that is something I've seen in other countries. So, for example, in Sri Lanka, the first female police chief, this was only a couple of years ago, was appointed, and that was made up for having a female police chief. And women across the political landscape from different parties came together and mobilised to support the appointment of that first female police chief. So I think in Australia we'd love to see that cross-party women's political caucus. But at a starting point, I think we need to see more women's caucuses within the individual parties, whether formalised or not, to support women and to share those lessons learned and to enable women to survive and thrive in the environment.
Men have messed up politics for way too long. We need more women now.
I think we need more women at all levels of leadership. I've got a fascinating one for you, Trevor.
Yes.
So just a couple of days ago, Tasmania appointed its first female police commissioner. Now, the department has existed for 125 years, and they've never had a woman head it. And so Donna Adams will be the first time that Tasmania's State Department has a female police commissioner. We need to see more women rise to leadership positions across politics, corporations, company law, across the police, across the media, across academia. So certainly this leadership conversation is not restricted to the political space.
It's been a pleasure talking to you about this morning, Ramona. Thank you.
Thanks very much for having me here, Trevor.
Dr. Ramona Vijayarajah, who is the author of a book called The Women's President. You're listening to Overnight with Trevor Chappell on ABC Radio. The news is coming up. After the news, Tom Petrovsky will join us to take a look at finance. We've also been sent in a message from a listener who has asked us to put this question to Tom Petrovsky. Regis and Murray Bridge says, what's money good for? With all of the sayings about how bad money is, what's money good for? Well, it's probably joining us in that conversation, 1300 800-222. I thought to come about it, but I'd like to know, what is money good for? Industry is building habits to ensure supply and sale prices from gas producers. This business is for the reality.
Safety
Chevrolet
Engineers is made by Cobra. The first time since the actual disease stayed in the forest.